behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I am Ben Bolin.
Ben, today we're going to talk about an advancement in something that you wouldn't really think needs to be advanced, I guess, maybe. we've talked about side view mirrors that are being replaced by cameras, right?
Sure, yeah.
This is an example of a rear view mirror that has been replaced by a camera. And it's kind of an exciting development because it's so simple, but it makes a huge difference. I've watched enough videos of this and seen enough of this actually in action to be a true believer in this system.
Right, because understandably, listeners, you guys know us pretty well. If we hear about a new innovation like this, you know, replacing something very simple with very few moving parts with an electronic system, then you know that Scott and I are both going to tend to be skeptical about it. But I'll be honest with you, man, I'm sold as well. This seems like a cool idea.
It doesn't seem to get much easier than just a piece of glass that's polished or however they make mirrors. I mean, we've got an article probably on how they make mirrors.
We do.
And we have probably an article on how rear view mirrors work.
We also do.
Okay. So we've got a lot of different articles, and those are really, really simple. But this is also a simple device as well. I mean, we've seen cameras in cars. We've seen, you know, rear backup cameras.
Right.
And, cameras for parking and cameras for,
just blind spots.
Yeah. Right? I mean, cameras that you don't really, see a readout from that are like lane detection cameras, things like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is so simple, Ben. Well, you know what? Let's kind of work our way into it here. How about that?
Sure. Okay. I can answer one of the first big questions here, which is why are people making these smart rearview cameras?
Yeah, because they have limitations, right?
Right.
So what are the answers?
Well, the answers are that in a short amount of time, in the big scheme of things, Uncle Sam is going to require all cars to have a camera system of some sort.
Oh, well, okay, that's an angle that I wasn't even thinking of, because I forgot that whole aspect of federal regulations.
Every new car, at least.
Every new car. Okay, so it is changing, believe it or not. I mean, I know some of our listeners are going to have a hard time believing that, because I did when I first heard about it, that
right.
They're going to require you have a rear view camera mounted that feeds this mirror. Now, one of the other limitations that I think we should mention is that with a standard mirror, sometimes you have a limited view angle.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, there's just a physical limitation to how much you can see from that rear view mirror. And I guess they can be blocked by cargo. They can be blocked by tall passengers in the back seat.
Right.
Cargo is probably the big one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like, you know, today I was on my way into work, and I was looking in the rearview mirror thinking about this podcast and thinking, well, how much can I really see out of this? Because it's worked fine for me up to this point until now. I've seen what I could be seeing with the Nissan system.
Right,
but
yeah.
I was looking in there, and I realized that, you know, the back headrests block kind of like the lower corners of the mirror,
mm-hmm.
Left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, well, I could take those out, but then the rear passengers don't have the headrest, and that's kind of a safety issue as well. So, you know, there's limitations to even what you think is a good setup with your current rearview mirror.
Yeah, and I love that you said tall passengers. Somebody doesn't even have to be especially tall if they sit in that middle back seat.
Yeah.
Then the mirror has a huge blind spot in the middle.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And, what about low light situations?
That was, you're reading my mind.
Oh, I didn't
catch
you up.
No, that's perfect. You didn't.
Okay. So, you know, the camera can adjust for that, right?
Right. The camera can adjust for visibility, and in that kind of, well, weather's not the right word, but you know what I mean. If it's really dark and you're in a rural area, then it can adjust for that.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, Scott's giving me a little bit of a grin because, we both have to prep to say rural, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. In fact, I'm having a little trouble with rear view mirrors over and over again, but,
it's a lot of ours.
I'll work through it.
Yeah. So yes.
Well, okay. So you mentioned weather.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, like, let's say you're in a parking garage, and that's one that they highlight in their safety videos from Nissan,
mm-hmm.
is that if you're in a parking garage, they show you the standard view and they show you the camera view. And it's night and day difference. I mean, I know that sounds funny, but it's night and day
right.
difference, really, between what you can see in those dark situations, or, you know, leaving a bright environment and going into a dark environment like a parking garage. It's something that you need to really, I don't know, be aware of that, you know, your vision is limited at that point. So if there's anything that can kind of boost the gain on that, I guess, for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know, is that the right term, maybe?
Well, if there's anything that can improve your performance, perhaps.
Maybe that's, yeah, let's not try to even get into the terms, because I don't know if I'm throwing them around the right way or
well,
not.
Well, one thing that we should point out on this is that we have talked about rear view camera systems before. We've touched on them.
Mm-hmm.
This smart rear view mirror system is different. It's not necessarily the same as other rear view cameras.
And how so?
Well, first off, it has a little bit of adaptive ability, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I was looking at some of the other camera systems. I think you mentioned side view cameras beforehand.
Sure.
But those cameras for side mirror replacements, right? They're always on. The smart mirror in this Nissan, at least, you activate it.
Yeah, that's right. It's a push of a button underneath, right? So mm-hmm. you have the option to use it as you would a standard reflective metallic surface, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a standard mirror would be. Or you could go to this camera view. And I don't know why, Ben. I mean, looking at the difference between the two, I don't know why you would ever go to that rear view mirror standard view.
I guess
unless you're trying to keep your eye on the kids in the back seat or something like that, maybe. Because you can't get that with the camera view, because the camera is placed just behind the glass, the rear glass, so it's inside the vehicle, which is nice. It's not affected by weather, you know, snow, slush, whatever.
Yeah.
They mentioned that, you know, it's always a clear view, but I wonder how that is how it's capable of that. Maybe there's a heating element near it that keeps it, you know, clean and fog-free,
yeah.
I guess. I'm sure there's a way around that, because the images are very, very crisp. They're high resolution images, so it's a very nice camera view. The thing that they had to deal with, I guess, there was kind of a problem with this initially, is that they couldn't get the perspective right. You know how, older TVs were more of a box. What is it? 4x3? Is that the standard configuration?
Something like that,
they went to 16x9, and everybody kind of knows the problems that go with stretching the image to make it look right. Well, they had to develop a camera and a monitor that would work together that would give you what is a comfortable, intuitive feeling mirror, something that you're accustomed to see in the exact same position and shape and everything, the same view mm-hmm. that you would normally get from, maybe not view because you're getting a better view.
Right, but the same experience.
The same mirror experience, rear view mirror experience. That's a good way to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because we're also talking about it. We're also talking about the verisimilitude. It needs to look like you are actually seeing real things in a mirror. And the problem that I think we're both getting at here is when they first came out and they were using this LCD screen, the image they were getting from your standard wide angle camera was low resolution. And we're a family show, but I'll say it this way. It was kind of crappy.
Yeah. And it was distorted to fit. You know, they had to stretch it to fit, and they had to squish it down from the top, and it just didn't work. So they had to develop all this, this kind of new technology. I'm sure it wasn't all that difficult.
Like
really.
A new screen.
Exactly right. But the idea was to put it in the exact same position mm-hmm. that your standard mirror is, or your traditional mirror has always been, so that you always look up, you know, you always look up to find it in the same spot, that same view.
Yeah.
Now that's the difference between, you know, like the older systems that tried to, do something like this with you looking into the center console, you know, down to the right or
right,
down to
yeah.
the left. And or even in the instrument gauge or
mm-hmm.
or kind of like maybe a holographic almost image that would kind
yeah.
of be projected on the windshield. There were attempts at that. All right, Ben, and I wanted to talk about this just for a second if we can, but
yeah.
I want to talk about the side rearview mirrors as well.
Ooh, okay.
And I think that's the right way to say it. I'll say side mirrors from now on. How about that?
Okay.
But, you know, think about this. We've talked about, you know, aerodynamics and the role that plays in the kind of push to go this way with mirrors, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
yep.
just, I guess maybe that, you know, it can provide some of the benefits that we've already talked about for this rear view mirror also in the side view mirrors. And the thing about that is, though, you're going to have a screen or something similar that's mounted somewhere inside the car that is not in the exact same position that you're accustomed to looking for the side view mirror in the past. And it becomes an issue of, well, I think there's regulations against screens that project images or that show live images, I guess, as you're driving. You know, that's why the rear view camera can't
okay.
be activated unless you're in reverse or parked or
yeah.
you know, below speeds below 5 miles per hour, you know, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So you can't constantly be monitoring that rear view camera that you have, you know, mounted to your bumper for parking all the time.
The idea there being, and I'm not saying I completely agree with it, but the idea there being that we don't want people to essentially watch television while they drive.
Exactly. And I mean, you can imagine that you can kind of look in your car. If you're in a car right now, and wherever you look, you know, for the driver's side mirror, rearview mirror, or the passenger side rearview mirror, take a look and you can kind of picture where you could put an image that would be similar in size and shape to that inside the car.
Oh, sure.
But the problem is it attached to the door at that point? Because that's a little rough on a screen to be open and closed all the time.
That's what I was going to say. The door mount is one of the best places, unless you get it right there in the pillar.
Well, if you put it
on the car.
If you put it in the pillar, then that becomes another type of problem. You know, it becomes
right.
A sight obstruction, I guess. If you put it down low and to the front, or, you know, whether you put it up high and, you know, above the passenger's head, you know, is that a problem as well? Does it interfere with airbag, you know, side curtain airbags?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of issues that they have to kind of weed out for this whole thing. So where are they going to put the side view mirror images? That's another whole problem. And they're really working on what they're going to do with that and how is it going to look compared to the way it looks now. But the rear view mirror thing, this seems to be just such a simple, easy way to, you know, accomplish this that I don't see why it hasn't been done already.
It's organic. It's not overcomplicating things, because one of the big concerns that we've talked about before is that when you start adding more and more bells and whistles to a vehicle, right, and the ride becomes increasingly computerized, then there's all sorts of weird and very cool stuff you can do in your central console, but that can also prevent you from doing the main thing you're supposed to be doing, which is driving.
That's right. And with this, there's zero distraction. And
right.
That's it. You don't really have to interact with this at all. The camera's already positioned, ready to go. You just simply get a crisp image up there. That's all it is. And there's a little tiny indicator in the corner that says camera view or something like that. And it lets you know that you're in the camera view versus the standard mirror view, which is, again, the polished glass.
Now, I want to go ahead and point out my billion-dollar idea for this.
Billion-dollar idea.
All right. My half a billion-dollar idea for this. What if, ultimately, rear-view mirrors, as we understand them in a car, what if, ultimately, they become like a pair of glasses that you wear when you drive a car, and that presents the views to you?
Oh, boy.
Is that too crazy? Too science fiction?
It might be a little too much Tron for me.
Yeah. Well, it's not a whole billion-dollar idea. It's about a half billion. But I think that's something we could see happen given, you know, Google Glass technology.
Exactly. I was just going to mention Google Glass and you know, some of the issues that go along with that. And I know that people have, you know, got an opinion one way or the other about Google Glass.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And what they think about that. And
I'm against it.
But how would you feel about, you know, putting on a pair of glasses every time you get in the car to drive?
I mean, that's a very good
point.
That'd
be a little strange. But you know what? Who knows? Maybe there'll be a vehicle that type of technology is adapted to or for.
And our point being, this is all just a series of sidebars, because our point being about the smart rear view mirror system is that this is not vaporware. That's something we should totally, totally hammer home. This is not by any means vaporware or some sort of malarkey prototype that's never going to make it out of the studio. This system debuted at the 2014 New York Auto Show, right?
Yeah, and it's scheduled to go into production as early as 2015 globally, but I believe that it's going to go into production in Japan this year.
Yeah, and talk about accolades. It already won a pretty prestigious award, the 2014 Traffic Safety Achievement Award from the World Traffic Safety Symposium.
Yeah, that was in at the New York Auto Show as well. Mm-hmm. And they had, you know, there's a little line here that I'd like to read from this press release that Nissan sent out. It says, you're smart. Why isn't your rearview mirror? So I thought that was pretty clever because, I mean, that's the whole thing. If you want to search for this information about this, it's just called the Nissan Smart Rearview Mirror. It's very simple name, easy to find online. They say the Smart Rearview Mirror was recognized as one of the most cutting-edge, life-saving safety features available in vehicles today. Now, again, that's a pretty strong statement, right?
Yeah,
Ben?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of up there with, what were the other things we talked about? ABS?
Mm-hmm.
And there was one other one that they said it was, was it tire pressure monitoring?
Tire pressure, was it?
There were a couple of really,
yeah,
basic
really big ones,
technologies
basic.
That they said they had actual numbers that it actually saves lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that was one of them. I'll have to double check our notes here. But it says, according to the World Traffic Safety Symposium, the award is acknowledgement for Nissan's continued effort to use and develop technology that will result in safer roadways for pedestrians and vehicles alike. Now, nice. I know that's a, you know,
PR language,
a lot of PR speak, but I want to tell you that they're also kind of piggybacking this on top of something that Nissan calls their safety shield concept. In the safety shield concept, if you want to look that up,
I mean,
this isn't a Nissan commercial by any means, but I'm telling you, they've got a pretty good system here, and it's about 15 safety features or systems that kind of work together as part of this whole safety shield system that they offer as a package.
Hmm.
And I'm not trying to sell any cars or anything by any means, but
oh, that's right, Scott. We should have told people at the beginning. Yeah, Nissan is not paying us to say any of this.
No, this is just a really cool thing, and it's part of a bigger thing that we need to just mention here.
Yeah.
So you know, the safety shield concept thing is monitor, respond, and protect, I believe. That's the three layers
as they go
closer to the vehicle. And, you know, under monitor, they've got something called the around. I'm not going to go through all these because there's 15 of them. But they've got something called the around view monitor. And I think you'll remember us talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that gives you a bird's eye view of your vehicle.
Yep.
Based on what the cameras within the vehicle are seeing around the vehicle at the time. It's a really neat
technology. So let's just play that back slower for everybody, Scott.
Sure.
This takes its calculations of the camera angles that you have, right, around your car. And then from that, it stitches it all together in this weird Frankenstein's monster way mm-hmm. to give you a bird's eye view while you're driving.
Of your own vehicle.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is so neat. Yeah. And then there's, of course, you know, some of the more simple things like tire pressure monitoring systems and lane departure warning. And, you know, if we skip over to the respond, there's about six more of those. Mm-hmm. If you go to the respond section, there's vehicle dynamic control. There's traction control systems,
mm-hmm.
a couple more of those as well. Then you get into protect, and that's more like the airbag systems and supplemental side impact airbags and active head restraints, things like that. So
mm-hmm.
this system, again, there's 15 or 16 of these things now. They're going to couple that together with, you know, this Nissan safety shield concept and make it, you know, one of these package deals that has, you know, it's everything about safety, really.
Right. They're, if I could say this without ruffling any feathers, they're going for that Volvo spot.
That is probably what
you
they're
what
kind
I mean?
Of angling towards, I would think.
The death-proof car. Which is still elusive. We should also point out that that Nissan has a good track record with these kind of innovations, or with at least maybe not always with safety, but being on the cutting edge. They stick out, I think.
Yeah, they definitely have a significant amount of technology packed into their cars, even now.
Mm-hmm.
And looking forward, I think they're just going to improve upon that.
Yeah.
That's probably what they're going to do. I mean, looking at this and then, you know, that, you know, more developments are on their way. And one of the biggest things, one of the biggest areas, I guess, where
mm-hmm.
they can grow and develop all this
mm-hmm.
is racing.
Ah, yes. Racing. It is true, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know that the rear view mirror itself as a concept comes from racing? As a matter of fact, a great deal of, the everyday things you see in your car, especially safety related, also ultimately derive from racing.
Yeah, as we've had a podcast about.
As we have had a podcast, our long time listeners will remember, you'll also note, race fans, that this practice continues today. If you want to see what the safety features of, you know, the next 10 years are or so, just pay attention to what people are doing in the pits.
It is, the ultimate harsh testing environment that they, mm-hmm. that they love. Engineers, developers love to take new technology, throw mm-hmm. it in their race car, you know, development program and see how it works, because it's put to the test immediately. And often, you know, in endurance races, things like that. It's a perfect place, a perfect test bed for a lot of this technology. And as a matter of fact, the smart mirror was already tested in this year's Le Mans race in a Nissan vehicle. A Nissan vehicle that's called the, what is it called, Ben?
The Zeode RC, which stands for, Zero Emission On Demand Race Car.
And if you haven't seen the Zeode RC.
Oh, you have to look at it.
Please, right now, stop whatever you're doing. Do a Google search for the Zeode RC. This is that crazy looking Delta Wing, you know, mm-hmm. style vehicle that they've developed, and it's, you know, from the Delta Wing aircraft design, but it's Nissan's Le Mans race car, and it races in a series or in a class, I guess, at Le Mans called the Garage 56 class.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the car actually did all that well this year. It was the first year for the thing, and it achieved everything that it wanted to in believe it or not, Ben, in the 23 laps that it did run, it went out with something that was not technical at all. It went out with a transmission problem.
Oh, wow.
They just couldn't get it to shift right. And, I mean, I mean,
so much new stuff in here. It went out with a mechanical problem.
Mechanical. It is technical problem. It's not a, it wasn't fault of any of the latest and greatest technology. That's actually kind of, old school tech, really.
None of the experiments went wrong.
Something just broke. That's what happened. And it just couldn't shift right. So, but the thing is that it's a, and I'll describe it just briefly here. The car is the first car to race in the 24 Hours of Le Mans without mirrors. That's one thing.
Right.
Also the first car to attempt a full 8.5 mile lap of Le Mans on all electric energy. So it's an electric vehicle that's paired with a gasoline engine as well.
Oh, yeah. We've got some details on that. So it's got the electric drivetrain paired with a suitcase-sized 400 horsepower, 1.5 three-cylinder turbocharged engine, and that engine weighs about 88 pounds.
88 pounds. Now, I just recently looked at a shot of an engineer somewhere holding that engine in their hands. They're holding it like you would, like a suitcase. Very, very small. It's 88 pounds.
Yeah.
400 horse. This is a race car engine with 400 horsepower and 280 pound-feet of torque. That is more horsepower per pound than a Formula One car has right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's an impressive engine.
Now, some people might be listening to us and saying, hey, what about that Audi that had a camera system in Le Mans? Interesting note here, although you are correct that the R18 e-tron did have a rear view camera.
Mm-hmm.
It still had side mirrors.
Ah, so it still had the external mirrors on the front fenders.
Yep.
That the Zeode RC does not have.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we probably should mention here is that if there was a failure of this system ever during the race, they were able to swap out those electronic mirrors, I guess, quickly, or they were able to add standard traditional mirrors to this thing.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if there was a problem, but you know what? There was not a problem. The technology worked flawlessly, I guess. Everything worked fine. And they said that even during testing, there was never a problem with the rearview mirror system. So everything works out fine. They didn't have to swap them out or anything like that. But that was kind of the backup, I guess.
Oh, I have you know, I was thinking about this when this is a bit of a sidebar, and I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I was thinking about this when I was heading into work today. Just so everybody knows, I made us a little late getting to the podcasting booth because I had some misadventures.
Was it with a Honda Odyssey?
You know, I cannot place the blame unfairly. I'm sure they were stopping someone from doing something important.
Probably.
But it wasn't me that day. I switched up my route, Scott. They don't know where I'm at.
Fair enough.
But anyhow, yeah, so running late, I was also looking at the rearview mirror as we were driving, and this old line from a comedian that I really like called Mitch Hedberg popped in my head. And he said, you know, I love escalators because they never break. They just become stairs.
That's a good point.
So you should never put, and he continues, and I'm not going to quote his whole bit. That's one of the things I think is the smartest about the smart mirror system is that when it breaks, when that LCD screen doesn't work, it just becomes a rear view mirror.
That's right. If it's somehow obstructed or your rear window is somehow compromised, you know, for whatever reason.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know what that would be. I mean, I'm trying to think. Let's say
hail, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. There'd
have to be a lot of hail.
I'm not exactly sure what would happen there. Vandalism, maybe.
Right.
But, yeah, that's right. There's always a backup. And you know that rear view mirrors are extremely important to race car drivers.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that, but they really are watching those mirrors all the time. And it's really important. And I watched, and I was thinking, how is this going to really improve what they do? How is it going to help them? Well, they've got a slightly different one that they use in the Zeode RC. And
it's
I watched the video, and it's a little different. And it's something that's worth looking at because it's amazing how intuitive this thing is right away. When I looked at it, I could understand immediately what was going on in the image that they showed of this thing on the track because it was during testing. And if you want to take a look at the YouTube video that kind of highlights this and shows you how it really works, it's called Nissan Zeode RC with no mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very short. It's like a minute and a half. It'll tell you how how the race version of this mirror works. And it shows you the icons that the driver sees because as you can imagine, there's very limited rear view, capability, I guess, in this car. When you see it, you'll understand. When you see the design of it, you'll get it.
Right.
But if you see the rear view image that's projected from this camera onto the mirror, which is the test for the civilian version of this whole thing, you're going to understand how it was showing this. And as a car approaches, there's a like a red triangle that a yellow triangle that shows up, and it shows that the vehicle's fast, you know, approaching quickly. A red one is even faster, and then as the vehicle is next to you, there's a giant red or yellow arrow that shows that the vehicle's next to you in a blind spot. So there's no chance that this driver is going to bump somebody inadvertently because of obstructed view.
Mm-hmm.
So even without mirrors, it's a perfectly safe system.
Right. So long as it works.
So long as it works. That's right. And honestly, I mean, looking back at the Le Mans race from this year, it worked perfectly.
Yeah. I have a little bit of a tough time with this because I'm such a fan of the Zeode RC shape. You know, it looks like something you would see in a Japanese cartoon.
I gotta say, I wasn't crazy about it to begin with, but I've seen it now driving and seen, you know, some more development technology that goes into this thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, with the delta wing stuff.
And the drivers speak very highly of it, that it's a very maneuverable vehicle. It sticks to the track well. It looks so bizarre, but it's really a neat design.
Now, we could almost do a separate podcast on those kind of designs for racing, because I'm also surprised to hear them say it handles well.
It doesn't look like it does.
It's got
kind of spindly little tires at the front, but apparently that just makes it cut like a knife. I mean, I guess it's very, very agile on the track, and that's what the drivers love about it.
Now, Scott, at this point, this time, this is one of my favorite parts of our podcast, when I get to ask you just some entirely speculative questions.
Oh, sure.
Before we go on to anything else.
I'll do my best.
Okay. First things first. We know these federal regulations, at least in the United States, are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they really will apply to all new cars?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. But, you know, if they've got technology like this in the Nissan already and other manufacturers, you know, they look at what other manufacturers do. And
yeah, that's true.
Next year, everybody will have one of these, or, you know, half of them will. And then the following year, everybody will have it. It's kind of that trickle down effect, right?
Okay.
I'm sure that, that systems like these are coming to not just Nissan, but also to Ford, General Motors, Chrysler, probably overseas as well, I'm sure, because, you know, these are going to be seen already in the Nissan vehicles that they sell in Japan. So there's going to be copycats there as well.
Yeah.
So this is something that I think it only helps people the more this is out there, really. Is that what you think? I mean, do you think that it's going to work the way that they say it's going to work?
I do think that it will. I do think it will work pretty well, and it'll be improvement on smart rear views. What I'm a little bit hesitant about, or hesitant agreeing with, is the idea that this will reduce accidents as much as they think it will. Because I think there's a learning curve, clearly, with it won't be as bad as the rear view cameras that are in a center console, monitor screen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it can be easy to exaggerate the perceived benefits of this. I'm just saying I'd like to see some more numbers. I know I sound like a caveman here, but I always remain skeptical of something that goes from a purely mechanical system to essentially purely electronic system.
We both are on the same page. I mean, why add complexity to something that really doesn't need to be complex at all?
But, Scott, also you're right. It is a much better picture. It's streets ahead.
Think about this. Let's say that you're packed up and we've got a Honda Element, and we're headed up north to Indiana for Christmas, right?
Right.
And we've got, a bunch of Christmas gifts piled on top of enough luggage for a week for three people.
Right. So you can't see out the back.
Well, I always do my best. That's the thing. I even this Honda Element, it's got a reasonable back end, not huge, but with the seats, in the position for passengers, there's not a lot of space. So I'm trying to pack creatively so that everything stays below that, that area that I can see out the back window through the rearview mirror.
Oh, you're playing Tetris, huh?
Well, I am, yeah. But I'm also trying to leave space for me to see because that's just a safety issue, right?
So absolutely.
Instead of relying just on the side view mirrors. So I try to do that, and that limits me to what I'm able to pack into the vehicle. Now, if I could pack with, no limits, I guess, on that, treat it almost as if you're packing like a cargo van or something where, you normally wouldn't be able to use a rearview mirror at all. They don't even include one in the vehicle. There's no point in that because there's nothing to look at except for that, the back of that truck.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It seems like this is just something that, that could really have a lot of benefits. I think people could really benefit from this, and as far as learning curve, I mean, that's what they're going to great pains to cover.
Right.
To say that we're going to put it in the same spot. It's going to be the same shape. It's going to look the same.
Feel the same way when you work it.
You're going to have roughly the same view. It's not going to be some weird angle like from, you know, the, like from the lower bumper or something. It's going to be from where you normally would see, because I think it's mounted kind of high on the rear view, on the rear window rather. So I think that, you know, it's, if you were to drive one of these, Ben, I bet you would switch camps immediately.
Well, that's the thing, man. I'm still on board. I'm just saying that I think they might be exaggerating the benefits. I'm not saying there won't be benefits.
Oh, I buy that. They always do that. In fact, you know, the stuff that we've been reading,
yeah,
that we've, you know, been going through here for this, and if it sounded a bit like a Nissan commercial, I apologize, because that's just what we get, because it's press releases and it's early information that's coming out from, you know, the developers and saying, here, we're testing this. Here's a YouTube video. Go Nissan.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
so that's the way all this information is.
Luckily, we also have a fantastic article that we've used for a lot of this podcast by one of your freelance writers, Scott. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. Charisse Lapine. Mm-hmm. And it's an excellent, well-written article. And, you know, that has more of a, I guess, an even view of everything, and throws a little bit of the ZODRC stuff in there as well. So, you know, check that out. There's more to it than what we've talked about even here today. You wouldn't think that with just a simple rearview mirror and a camera.
Right.
But there's still a little bit more to it.
Yeah, it's the 2020 future of hindsight, right?
That's a good way to put it, Ben.
It's a weird title. So we're going to go ahead and head out today. We hope that you have enjoyed our podcast here. I know that, Scott, I know that you and I can sometimes sound a little curmudgeonly or whatever, but it's safe to say that we're both on board with this smart rearview mirror, especially in comparison to other rearview camera systems.
I think that's safe to say.
And if you'd like to learn more about this, you can always visit us at HowStuffWorks.com, our very own website, CarStuffShow.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and we'd love to hear your suggestions for something to cover in an upcoming episode. Our email address is
CarStuff@HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.